You're listening to an Across the Nations podcast from Grace Baptist Mission. I'm Jim Sayers, and in this podcast, I'm talking to Phil and Lydia Evans about the beginning of their missionary service in Latvia. All right, so Lydia, you moved to Riga, I should say, as new missionaries at the end of January?
Yes, early February last year. 2018, yes.
And you were therefore both completely committed to the work and doing a whole load of things. What was your particular focus at that stage?
So at that time, we both arrived and were given a fairly flexible remit, really. We could just get involved with whatever there was a gap for us. Quickly, I started a girls' Bible study, particularly with one girl called Hetta, who was an Indian student who had only recently become a Christian. So for a while, there was three of us that would meet and go through the New Testament with her. So that was good. Over time, over the year, the girls' Bible study changed who would come, and it changed day and changed time. It was very fluid, depending on which students were around. Sometimes we had students who were only there for Erasmus, so they'd be there for 6 months that would join. So yeah, it was definitely a movable feast.
Lots of birds of passage.
Absolutely.
Okay, and more medical students, you said?
Yes, interestingly, there are fewer female students there, and they do tend to be medical, which means they have less time, less free time. So certainly now I'm noticing that I don't have anything so formal anymore, and it's just very much I will contact them and see when they're free, and they'll pop over sometimes just of an afternoon or an evening. So again, very fluid.
Mm. Now, arriving as a new couple in another country, one of your commitments is to learn Latvian. How's that been as a challenge for both of you?
Yes, it's been interesting. We did an intensive course, which was helpful. And since then, we've tried different courses. We have a tutor at the moment, so a Latvian lady who goes to the church. And the idea is that she comes over twice a week to give us a lesson. Yes, and that's sort of more or less happened, but
that's
she's
the
quite
idea.
Yes, exactly. She's also quite busy. The challenge we have really, I suppose, is that it's a language that's hard to absorb for us. Our local shop, for example, the people who work there are Russian. Most of the taxi drivers will speak Russian and not Latvian. So even when we're out and about, we're not necessarily hearing Latvian. And obviously at church, it's in English. But we definitely want to get to the point, and we feel we're getting to the point where we can understand what's going on and signs and things like that.
Mm. And Latvian is quite a Scandinavian language, is that right? Or am I wrong in that?
Well,
it's very different to Russian.
Exactly, yeah, very different to Russian. When we speak to people, they sort of say if it's like anything, it's maybe like German, but it's a bit one on its own. Or okay. They'll say it's like Lithuanian, which isn't that helpful to me either.
Has it got strange characters and
not particularly, like, a lot of accents.
Like Swedish
but,
has. So.
But the normal characters, but just lots of accents and things.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Now, everything changed when Isabel was born back in December.
Early January, yes.
There you go. Yeah. You came home in December and That's she right. was born in early January. So this is a drastic change to a missionary couple's life. What's it like raising a baby in a very different culture?
Yes.
Well, a fairly different culture.
Yes. I think particularly in church, we have a real mixture of cultures. We have the Chinese, the Latvian, the Russian, and then lots of different Europeans that come as well. So there are lots of different ideas on what you should and shouldn't do. And we didn't always tick all the boxes for everybody. So that was interesting. But I think we managed to get through that.
Interesting advice you were given?
Yes. Things like the baby should be horizontal for many more months than we kept her horizontal. So to see us carrying her in a sling was a bit horrific for some people. Yes, and a lot of them wouldn't even take the babies out for the first 3 months. So we obviously flew over when she was 6 weeks old. So again,
And that was still snowy at the time as well.
Yes, so that's right. Yes.
That brings its own challenges.
Yes,
But now, of course, it's glorious summer and it's very hot.
It is. It is late. It's been late 20s, early 30s for a while now. So we've definitely been enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah. Now, this makes you a young couple with a family and it's a different dynamic. Does that give you opportunities in terms of fellowship and discipling and one-to-one friendships and so on?
Yes. I think we probably have become more popular now we've had a baby. Certainly the students are very keen to come around. I get messages from people saying, how's Isabel? Wanting an invite. So that's a really nice opportunity to see people. And with our apartment, we'd like to think the students can come whenever they want to, and they'll come and cook a meal or have a shower or just hang out. And it's nice for them to be a little bit part of a family as well. And all of the Indian students will come and they will FaceTime themselves holding Isabel to their mum. And they'll say, look, mum, it's a baby. We're sort of waving in the background. So it brings a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting. That just raises a story in my mind. Someone I was talking to yesterday, and they were saying that their baby is 6 months old, and it's a very sociable baby, and loves talking to everybody on the bus. Yes. And they said, you go to church?
Oh.
Ah, yes. You see, babies that get passed around in church, everybody, they get used to everybody. We're much more sociable as Christians. It's part of what we do. It's part of Christian fellowship. There you go. Yeah.
Yes.
One more thing. It sounds very glamorous and very exclusive, but what is the Embassy Wives gathering?
So there's a Christian lady who's married to someone who works in the embassy. And
the
I
British
met
embassy?
Her. The British Embassy, yes. Yeah. And I met her through Ruth. And she's introduced me to three or four embassy wives, as it were, who've got little ones around Isabel's age. So we've started to meet up fairly regularly now, which is good. We're still at the stage where we just ask each other, you know, what do you do about this? What do you do about that? But I'm hoping that as time goes on, we'll be able to go a bit deeper and build good friendships.
Okay, great. Let's get Mr. Evans in.
Great.
So you and your wife, Lydia, arrived fresh and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in February of last year, and you started in the church. What were the first ministries that you got involved in?
So Malcolm and Ruth, when we arrived in Riga, asked us to just really look at what was going on in the church and see where we might fit in, what ministries we could get involved in. And one of the main things that we saw a need in was the student work. There's lots of international students in Riga, just getting alongside the students and spending time with them. There was a bi-weekly student meeting that was happening on a Saturday evening in the church, so we initially got involved in that and got to know the students, really.
And that was organised through the church?
And that was organised through the church, yes. So we did that for the first semester.
So that takes us through to what, sort of summertime?
Yeah, so that took us through to the sort of summertime in Riga. Obviously, it's getting warmer. Staying in the church was hot and sticky, so we kind of had a few events and activities that we did outside with the students during the summer season.
But does that get people to church, or is there a sense in which they'll do that rather than church?
So we actually thought about what we were doing with that ministry during the summer, and we were talking with Malcolm and Ruth, and really we felt that every 2 weeks the student meeting wasn't really helping the students to get to the church on a Sunday morning. Perhaps it was kind of replacing that, or had the danger of becoming sort of a place where students would come and not really engage
Saturday night as against Sunday morning.
So we put that on one side and said, well, what else should we do with students? What should we do with the students, and how should we get alongside them and work with them? So that's really at the point in September then I began to focus on doing a guys' Bible study once a week. And we started up the guys' Bible study. We asked who would like to come along, and we got about 5 committed students and then about 8 students that sort of come along when they can. So it's between 5 and 8 students meeting.
So you've got a dynamic there. You've got a strength in the core. And what sort of things have you been doing with them?
So as we met, we talked together about kind of our experiences and what we knew from God's word. And many of the students that were there had been brought up in Christian families, had a reasonable idea of what the different stories, Sunday school stories in the Bible, they'd kind of had different teachings on different things. But one thing that was clear was that no one had really had a Bible overview or looked through kind of systematically what's the big picture of the Bible. And so we began with that, really. We picked up a resource looking at God's promises in the whole of the Bible, and we went through that together each week.
Okay. And that was over quite a period of time, presumably.
Yes, that actually took us a good number of weeks to do that, over a semester, really, to finish that that book. But we took it at our own pace, and we answered questions when questions came up. And
these are people who've never done biblical theology before, so lots of interesting questions.
Yeah, so we'd have quite a few different interesting questions as we went through, and just really then beginning to understand how How does the Old Testament relate to the New Testament? How did the promises in the Old Testament relate to the fulfillment in Christ Jesus? So, yeah.
And then you did Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, so after that, I said to them, I said, well, what should we do next? And one of the students was keen to look at Ecclesiastes. Others had never read it. Some had read it but didn't really understand it. So we said, well, let's have a go at Ecclesiastes. So this last semester, we've been working our way through Ecclesiastes and just really looking at how it applies to our lives as Christians. And it's been really encouraging to see the difference it's made in some of these guys' lives. As they've.
And it gives you confidence to actually think about all the different genres of Scripture.
Yes.
In a discipleship context. You know, historically, we've always thought it's got to be going through John's gospel or Luke's gospel and maybe Romans. And breaking out of that and taking them into the dustier corners of Scripture is a great thing.
And that's really one of the things as well that Malcolm and Ruth have been keen to see. They say, well, you know, we want to equip people to study the Scriptures for themselves when they go back to their home countries. We want to show that all parts of Scripture are relevant and all parts of Scripture can be looked at and understood. You don't have to be a theologian to understand Ecclesiastes. You can be the everyday guy and still hear from God's word. And so, yeah, we've just taken a chapter at a time. I've prepared something, but often we just discuss it and think about it and try and...
Okay, yeah. Now, Grace International Baptist Church, Riga, had its ups and downs. At its height, it's been about 80 or more people. Then, more recently, Malcolm and Ruth said, well, some of the fringe have dropped off and we're back to the core.
Yeah.
What's the state of play, really?
We, as a church, I think we experienced about a year, particularly maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago before we came, a lot of students coming in, different people each week, lots and lots of people. So many people, in fact, that it was just getting a bit too much. We weren't getting to know people. There were new people each week. There were just people coming through, and it was great to see people coming in. But what really matters and what we really wanted to see was people sticking with us, staying with us, and growing in their relationship with Christ and growing in their relationship as a church together and getting to know one another, which is something you can't do when you've got people floating in each week in and out. And so I think what's happened really is that the church has kind of settled down a little bit, and we've gone from a church that was the sort of flavor and everyone was trying to tasting it and then decided, you know, sort of drifting in and out, to a church that's really looking to encourage one another and help one another.
And have longer term understanding of each other.
Yeah, and have a longer term understanding of each other. And I think that's one of the things that has been happening, particularly as Ruth has her Bible study, as the guys' Bible study that I've been doing has happened as well. I can see that there's a closeness that's happening amongst those that are attending those things. Malcolm and Ruth have been doing a discussion group every Thursday, and that has seemed to attract, again, some of the different people in the church have come along to that, and again, a group has formed. They've done book studies in the past, again. Just seeing people come along and really want to learn more about their relationship with God and how they live out their Christian lives. One of the things we've done this last semester, Malcolm saw a need for the men in the church. Some of the men in the church were wanting to meet up every week. And so we said, well, why not meet in a restaurant? We'll meet in the local Lido, the Latvian restaurant, and we'll eat together after your work. Just come along. We'll eat together. We'll talk with one another, we'll share needs and pray for one another. And so we've seen a number of the men in the church come along to that. It's not everybody, but it's a small group. And again, all these small groups of people getting together really does help to unite the church as a body of Christ. So
the church has involvement in a number of other ministries, doesn't it? And I haven't heard much about them so much recently, working with people of victims of people trafficking and that sort of thing, and trying to get out into the city at night and reach out to the people who come to Riga on stag do's and all those sorts of things. Lots of creative things, the Habibi Jewelry Ministry, lots of other things going on.
Yeah, so I think the thing with a capital city, there are many different ministries going on. Typically, what we try and do is, if we have people in the church involved in those ministries, then we encourage them. And so If you heard about the trafficking a while back, that was because there was a number of the girls who were helping to reach out to the prostitutes. They were coming along to the church, and so it was very much at the forefront of the churches. This is, you know, let's get involved in this. Let's go out on a Friday night and meet with stag do's and things like that.
So this is a group of Christian women who are trying to reach out to
the prostitutes.
Yeah. And the stag do's are coming in and going to lap dancing clubs and so on, and we are not there of their own will.
Yes. Yeah. So that, I mean, that is one of the epidemics of Riga, is it's cheap. People come. There's a lot going on for that kind of area of things. So yeah, it's really about, the girls were helping the prostitutes to come out of that.
And to escape.
To escape that. But part of that ministry was to try to encourage people who'd come to Riga, particularly for that, or maybe not even for that. Perhaps they'd just come on a stag do and people are trying to encourage them to do that. Mm-hmm. To say, look, this is how you have a nice time in Riga without all the...
Going into the sex industry.
Yes, exactly. So... Yeah. So that's one of the things that has been happening.
Is that still going on?
That's not a ministry of the church, I would say. Okay. So that's a separate... What happens is we have people come in to the church who have ministries, and then we try and help and support them in those things. So a little while ago, you might have heard of the Children's Centre, perhaps, as well. Mm. There was a Children's Crisis Centre for children whose parents were sort of absent or not able to help, and the children were sort of needing help. So there's a one of the ladies in the church is very involved in that, and so that became kind of let's as a church get behind this lady and help her. So I would say those things are sort of the ministries on the outside of the church that we kind of say let's support them.
And the church has always had a desire since its inception, really, to serve the local community in whatever way.
Yeah.
And you don't have to replicate everything within the confines of the church. You can ride alongside and partner with other groups.
And I think it's always very important when you've got a group of people in a church to say, what are the gifts in the church? What are people passionate about within your church? Not let's create ministries and then try and fill them, rather... Somebody has a passion for that. Somebody's got involved in that ministry. Let's support them and help them, and let's encourage others to get involved in that as well. So that's what happens, really. And so sometimes it might seem like we go through different things and there's different flavors of the month, but actually what's happening is that people are coming to the church for a time and then perhaps going back to their home countries or moving on, and then that ministry dies down, and then another person comes with a passion for something else, and we say, well, let's look at that and see if it's something we can get behind again. But I think we ought to come back to ministries in the church. We've recognized that there's a need to have people grow closer to one another. In an international community, you have people doing all sorts of different things in all sorts of parts of the city. So getting people together and getting them to know one another has been an important part. So our fellowship lunch after each service is a great time for that. We've had trips and activities where we try and get the church together in informal situations just to get to know one another. Because if you don't know people and you don't understand where they're coming from, you can't really truly help one another to grow if you don't know each other's issues and each other's circumstances. So that's one of the things we've been doing. Another things we've recognized is that there are many people in the church who have lots of questions.
Yeah.
And so we've put on a question and answer session once a month after our morning service. After we've eaten, we'll get together in the afternoon and have a question and answer session. So that's been one of them.
And that teases out a lot of issues, and you find out where people are at.
Yes, you do. Yeah. So that's been good. Malcolm and Ruth have always been doing these book studies that you may have heard of, and these book studies have been, again, great times for them to get people together for a period of time. So not saying commit to an entire year, but commit to several weeks. So let's look at a book together.
There's a lot of flexibility here, isn't there? That's one of the things that really strikes me. This is not a church intent on building huge loads of infrastructure. It's quite flexible and able to pivot quite easily.
I think it needs to be flexible. I think as a church, it's an international church. It has lots of different people coming through. We get people for 6 months. We get people for a year. We get people, probably the longest people stay with us is about 6 years if you're a medical student. And then we do have some who are more long term. But essentially, if you've got that turnover of people, you need to be thinking, how can we best serve those people that we have
in the time that you have
in the time that you have them? So it might be that one semester there's a book study that runs for 10 weeks. And that's great for someone who's come for 6 months and they come to the book study.
What sort of books are you doing in that sort of context?
So one of the books that they studied as a book group was You Can Change by Tim Chester. They read a chapter. Each of them read the chapter in a week and then come
together.
You've got
good 8, 10, 12 chapters on the doctrine of the Christian life, and it's it's really helpful.
So that, but more recently, changed it from a book study format to a discussion group. So each week they've said, well, let's free it up a little bit more and let's say we'll do, for this semester, we're going to do a discussion group. And so if you want to be a part of a discussion group, we'll take an article each week, we'll read that article, and then we'll come together and we'll discuss that article. So they've looked at different articles on faithfulness, fruits of the Spirit. They've been doing different things
that's,
there.
That's their ministry.
That's their ministry. My ministry really has been to those international student guys, mainly from India. I've been particularly focusing in on the guys that come to the church and saying, how can we really get them into God's word? So whether that's a one-to-one Bible study with them or whether that's the group Bible study and encouraging them in that. And so that's really been my focus over the last year is how can we strengthen those that are in the church?
Tell me about International Cafe.
So we've spent a while here talking about those who are Christians, who are coming to the church. Those coming to the church are sometimes nominally Christian, but we're really seeking to disciple those in the faith. The other side of it really is, well, how can we reach out to the thousands of international students who are coming each semester and wouldn't come anywhere near a church? So myself and the IFES worker, we got together and we thought, well, how can we reach out to these guys who aren't coming anywhere near the churches? How do we reach out to them? And we thought, well, let's do something that's been tried and tested in the UK. Let's put on an international cafe each week. Let's invite people along and let's just get to know them initially and spend time with them and then build up that trust and that relationship on which we can share the gospel. So we started the International Cafe. We hired a room. We got some tablecloths. We put some chairs around tables and we got some food in and we just said, come along to this event. And students came. At the beginning of the semester, we were looking at about 80, possibly 90 students coming, which dropped to around 40 regular students each
week. Was
this
in 2018 or in
this year? Started in September 2018. So we'd been there a semester. We'd sort of seen things happening. We'd done various events and activities.
You've got a feel for the whole thing.
Yeah, we'd got a feel for the whole thing. And we thought, now's the time to start an international cafe and to run it. And so we've had about 40 students coming along to this international cafe. Each week we'd have a different activity, a different event. All sorts of things, from music nights to make your own pizza night, which was great because it was, again, gave us the opportunity to ask questions and really ask some of the deep questions of life, like what about suffering? And one of the questions we had was, is marriage necessary?
Yeah.
Is religion necessary?
Yeah.
So we asked these sort of questions to the students and get discussions happening. And then at the end of each semester, we've had a meal, a big meal together. Everyone brings food. Malcolm spoke at the Christmas meal this last year. Very clear gospel talk from the Christmas message. It's been great, really. The students that we had coming along, we'd earned their trust. They respected us. They sat through the talk. They asked questions afterwards. And it's been really encouraging to see that.
And what sort of nations are they coming from?
So at the International Cafe, we call it iCafe. At the iCafe, we meet students from, we've had French, Spanish, we've had UK, Sri Lankan, Indian. We've also, we do get a lot from Uzbekistan and also Egypt.
Quite randomly different countries, but they have a connection and
I think what we've found with the International Cafe and what we learnt as well is that students like something different. They want something nice and something where they don't feel the pressure of having to go out and get drunk or party or dance, but actually they can just come, get to know other students. So we do get a lot of Muslim students coming along to our events, and we get just students who just want to have a nice time and not feel that pressure of going out and partying and clubbing. So
And so has that filtered people into coming along on a Sunday morning that wouldn't otherwise have come, do you think?
So one of the great things about International Cafe is those personal relationships that you can build up. And so over the last semester, two semesters, I've found that there's guys that I've met that I've then been able to meet up with one-to-one outside of the cafe. In particular, a guy called Saeed from Iran. I've tried to meet up with him and get to know him a bit better outside of the cafe. And he's around as well next semester. So do pray for him. Pray for my relationship with him that we build on what we've got so far. Also, a guy called Amber. I've mentioned him in the prayer letters, actually. Amber is a guy who I met pretty much when we arrived in Riga, but has been coming to the iCafe as well. And that continued relationship, that continued building on that, and the questions that we've been able to talk about over coffee have been really great. He's very much into karma, but again, as we've debated that, discussed that, it's been great to see his willingness to talk about Christian things. He's not yet a Christian, so pray for him, but we do have a good friendship.
And that brings me, after half an hour of recording, to think about particular things we can be praying for. You're on deputation at the moment, but by the time people hear this, you'll be back in Riga. Mm-hmm. It will be the start of the academic year, which is a significant time.
So we are looking to reach out to students for the first time that we've never met before. So pray for opportunities. Pray for God's work in the hearts of those students, preparing them to come along to events and activities. We're always thankful that we get students along to these activities that we put on at the beginning of the semester. And pray for the students that they wouldn't just come to the events and activities, but that we'd really build friendships and relationships that last throughout their time in Riga, that give us really good opportunities for the gospel.
Okay, and how can we be praying for the church particularly?
One of the challenges of an international church is that you get students who come along, they perhaps seem keen to start off with, but then when work or studies happen, they drop off from church and we don't see them for a number of weeks. They might come once a month. And so really pray for commitment amongst the students, and pray for myself and Lydia as we encourage that in the students. Pray for wisdom as we speak to students about how important it is to be amongst God's people and hearing from God's word each Sunday. And pray for that. We pray for a greater desire to be amongst God's people and to hear from his word. And that really is what a prayer for the church, really. Commitment of people. Because we get so many people coming in and out that we really want to see them grow in their faith. And not just sit on a seat, but actually really
Engage with what's happening
in the church.
Interact with each other. Okay. And how can we pray for you as a family?
So pray for us. Obviously, Isabel is getting bigger and bigger and
growing to the teething stage.
Growing. It's great to have her. She's a great draw for some of the students. The students like to come and visit her and then see us.
And you're
as well.
Just purely incidental to that.
But pray for us as a family. I think when you're in ministry and you're amongst people and you're doing things with people, it's often hard to know how to switch off, or particularly in the technology age when you've got Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp and things like that, having the ability to switch off and take time as a family is really important. So pray for us. We try and take Mondays as our day off. Pray that we'd honour that. Pray that the students would honour that as well and not try and message us on a Monday. And also getting to bed in good time.
Doing student ministry and being young parents. Those are two quite vicious
combinations. I think we've spent a semester now learning how to get there. We haven't got it perfect yet, but we'd like to see the balance of our time used well, and that we'd be available but also able to say, look, we need some time just as a family. We need some time of rest. I can't answer your question at 11:30 at night on the difference between this theological issue and this theological issue. We need to sleep.
Yeah. Okay. Phil, that's great. Thank you very much. That takes us into a lot of different areas that some of which we didn't even prepare for. So that's great. Thank you. For more information about our work, visit our website, gbm.org.uk. Grace Baptist Mission is a church-based mission that helps churches to send and support their missionaries worldwide.